From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Dr. Josh Zajcik joins us. We appreciate you taking the time, doctor.
Well, I'm so grateful to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, and listen, we've seen things throughout our lives as Christians happen with church leaders. You know, people always seem to be shocked when church leaders that fall from grace, and yeah, many of us rarely know really how to respond. So, you know, we ask, what is the proper way to view our spiritual leaders when they fail, and how should we respond? And we appreciate that you're able to take the time to help us walk through this. You wrote your dissertation on identifying and responding to sinful pastoral abuse before serving as a pastor, and now you're the director of church engagement at Focus on the Family and captivating spokesperson on this touchy topic. And we appreciate you again taking the time to walk through this with us. Let's start with identifying a failure or ways to identify a failure. What would you say to that?
Yeah, that's the right question. And even right before we jump into that, let me just say, you know, with the prominence of, you know, church leaders who in a social media age, in an internet age, when they fall, the assumption is that everyone is living some duplicitous life. And that's not the case. There are faithful pastors all over this country who are loving the Lord, loving his word, loving the people, trying to shepherd well. And so I just want to say that to encourage folks. But the reality is there are times when we are seeing pastors, what I would call sinful pastoral leaders. And we want to know, are we seeing this through the lens of scripture? Or are we seeing this through a personal preference? And so when I spent the time to dive into this for my dissertation, you know, what you see in Ezekiel 34, as an example, you see these sinful shepherds. They were supposed to care properly for the people of God, the Israelites, but instead they actually used them for their own personal gain. And then you contrast that against Jesus in John 10, who lays down his life for the sheep as the good shepherd. And so really what we're experiencing is you've got pastors who are using their role, their leadership role, to take advantage of people for their own selfish gain. That is what we're seeing in the news. We're seeing that can be criminal, that can be sexual sin, that can be greed and embezzlement. But it's certainly that. And all pastors sin. We got to realize all pastors are human. But not all pastors are using their role to manipulate or personally benefit in a way that would be dishonoring to God.
Yeah, one of the things you said, you know, jumping in there, you know, it's not always, you know, something nefarious. It's not always maybe a planned action, and as you've already, you know, mentioned, well, sometimes it is. However, you know, along the lines, I think of understanding where they may be in their walk, in their life, is to hold up a mirror and say, you know what, but for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, I could just as easily be in a situation like, you know, many who we've seen over the years that have fallen.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And we want to never get to a point where we think, as a pastor, as a church leader, I could never fall in a certain way, or those who I look up to in pastoral leadership. There's this thing that happens, Steve, in the Gospels when Jesus is tempted by Satan, and only one of the Gospels records it, but it says Satan left Jesus after Jesus rejected his temptations and returned for a more opportune time. Our pastors are always going to be under attack at some point.
Yeah, that's very, I never noticed that. It's almost like the enemy is like, I've got to make better use of my time. I'm not going to get anything done. I'm not going to get anything done here. And yeah, you know, with some of the recent things we've seen hit headlines and on my own social media, without, you know, specifically going to the headlines, just simply reminding my circle of influence, people, pray for your pastors, pray for those that are leaders in your life. Pray, you know, and extend that to our local leaders, our those that in government that have a place of authority over us. It is such a impactful thing, especially, you know, you and I were talking a little bit off the air before we got started. And one of the things that really, I guess I'm sensitive to is to think about young believers who experience the failure of a pastor or a spiritual leader for maybe the very first time, and are maybe more shocked than some of us with gray hair that understand, you know, men and women fall, and it doesn't change where Christ sits and who he is.
You're spot on there. And the reality of, I think for anybody, is that what's going to happen is when a leader falls, when a pastor portrays the role or betrays the role or betrays a person in some manner, the tendency in all of us is going to be to doubt. And it could be doubt church leaders for the future, could be doubt the gospel, it could be doubt God's goodness. And interestingly, there's this letter in the New Testament. It's one chapter long. It's the letter of Jude. And he says in verse 22, have mercy on those who doubt. The whole letter is dedicated to a reality that sinful pastors had crept into leadership. They actually, in this case, weren't even believers. So they were false converts presenting themselves as pastors to the church. And they were using people for even sexual sin. And of course it had an impact. Of course people naturally began to have doubts. And he says, have mercy on those who doubt, because that's going to be a reality. And we're going to see that if it's false teaching. And, you know, 30 years ago, all the literature that was being written about this kind of a topic was really dedicated to more cults, cult-like churches, false doctrines. Today, it's really driving on Orthodox teachers who are bullying, embezzling, committing sexual sin on some level, either criminally or certainly just on an adultery level. So it has kind of evolved in what's being addressed, but all of it will cause doubts in people, and we need to be thoughtful of that.
Well, listen, we're sneaking up on a break, but before we get there, after the break, we'll talk about responding to those that are impacted by this, the victims of the topic that we're on. But let's respond to the pastor who has failed in one of these areas. How do you respond to the pastor?
Yeah, and I think that's you're actually going right to the right questions here, because the New Testament really offers encouragement in three types of responses. It's the personal responses, the response to the pastor, and the response to victims. But, you know, one of the things we see in Matthew 23, Jesus looks at the religious leaders who did not lead well, who did not shepherd well, and he calls them blind guides, fools, vipers, full of greed and self-indulgence. Peter confronts them. Jude confronts them. Paul confronts them. There's going to be pastors who are living sinful, unrepentant lives, indulgent, self-indulgent, maybe committing immoral or criminal acts, and it needs to be exposed. It needs to be confronted. It needs to be vetted. We need to assume not all accusations are immediately accurate, but once it's vetted, it needs to be exposed and confronted, and people are going to have to often remove themselves from a situation where that pastor has authority and teaching over them.
So when someone maybe suspects or has a good idea of a failure in these areas, biblically, what are the steps that they should be taking?
That's a great question. You know, Matthew 18 is certainly a guide, but I think also there's a higher standard for church leaders. So Matthew 18, if you're not familiar, you would go to your brother one-on-one. And then if that doesn't resolve it, you bring other witnesses and then eventually to the church. In the case of a church leader, you know, sometimes what we need to immediately try to do is get another leader involved. Some of that will depend on the nature of the accusation. If we're saying my pastor was harsh, that's very different than a pastor being accused of criminal sexual sin with a minor. We need to get the state involved. And really what I'm getting at here, Steve, is that the accusation will dictate to some degree the way in which it's approached, because the moment we cross into a criminal accusation, we need to involve the civil authorities and let them do the vetting work. Essentially, they're coming alongside as a Matthew 18 process. And we don't want to ever just assume we don't need the state. The church can handle all of it when it's a criminal accusation. But then, of course, you're going to have the Baptists and the Presbyterians and non-denomination, different church structures, elders, deacons, trustees. And so what I encourage is take the accusation to other leaders and start letting them vet it. And any leader who hears an accusation about one of their pastors, we should never fall into the ditches of guilty till proven innocent, or my pastor could never do that. And we just need to faithfully pursue the facts.
Yeah. Now, one scripture that I'm drawn to at times like this, not to do a mini sermon here, but it's been a powerful scripture in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And the things that have stood out to me from being taught through this verse, you who are spiritual. So before you go to bring this to a brother and you know, bringing this with Matthew 18, starting with as an individual, go first. Check yourself. Where are you? You know, are you spirit filled? What's your intention? And the intention should be to restore. And the other thing that I was taught, the word gentleness there, going back to the original Greek, is the same word that is used for a doctor setting a bone, which that hurts. But the purpose behind it is for healing. That's been a very powerful verse for me over the years, because the older you get, the more you got to run into these situations. Would you agree?
Well, and I think you're touching on something great. We should always be looking to make sure we're walking in the Spirit, and that our motivation in confrontation is to restore. I would note that the restoration here is very specific, restoring them to right relationship with the Lord, right relationship with you. But that doesn't always mean right relationship or restoration to the role of pastorate. You know, when someone commits a crime, And these are the more extreme examples, not the pastor who had a rough day and snapped at you. Okay, restore to relationship, all those things. But when we're talking about a role, there are times when a role should not be continued because it's not appropriate for a youth pastor to do certain things. So I want to keep that in the context of this is talking about relationship with the Lord, relationship with you, a restoration, but not always the pastoral role.
Yeah, and we won't walk through it here, but it would encourage the listener to go and see what qualifies a pastor to be a pastor, and have they disqualified themselves from that, although our desire should be to restore a brother to fellowship with Absolutely. The Lord. Yeah, well, we appreciate the insight. If you just tuned in, we're visiting with Dr. Josh Zajcik and kind of covering how can I trust church leaders when so many fail? Well, so many fail because so many of them are human, and they're just like us, although they're held to a higher standard. And we're going to continue our look at this discussion and talk about how to respond to the victim in this circumstance. Dr. Zajcik, can you stay with us through the break?
Absolutely.
Very good. All right, we'll be back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. Well, we are right in the middle of a conversation with Dr. Josh Zajcik. He's the Director of Church Engagement at Focus on the Family and a spokesperson on the topic of how can I trust church leaders when so many fail. And if you missed our first segment, watch for the archive at abqconnect.online. We talked about ways to identify failure in a church leader and differentiating, criminal and non-criminal actions, false teaching and sinful behavior, and then how to respond to the pastor. We've already covered that. Now we press on and consider the victim, Dr. Zajcik. What things should we consider as we respond to the victim?
Well, yeah, you're asking the question, and then really the answer is going to be there's going to be one of two victims. Either you personally are the victim, or you know someone. You can't really be in church life for too long and not know someone who feels hurt by church leadership. And so if it's you, I just want to start by saying to your listeners, like, there's going to be things God is seeking to do in you. And again, we looked at Jude. The tendency in anybody is going to be to doubt. But Jude is so instructive. He really speaks to this idea that we need to engage the situation, fight sin. This is going to be an opportunity to grow in discernment. This is going to be an opportunity for you to say, am I trusting in the Lord or am I trusting in man, in flawed humans? I need to contend for my faith, stay connected to a local church. Maybe it's not this one. Maybe it's a new one. And that's going to be a hard thing to restart relationships. But we want to have a commitment to the Lord, to his word, to his commands to be in the local church. And not let our experience, a bad experience, a legitimately wrong experience, derail us from following Christ. And I think that's how the enemy would want to derail us, is using sinful pastors to really confuse and discourage people out of the church.
And, you know, what I'm thinking back to some of what you already covered as you look and consider, you know, who's causing this and how do we respond ourselves? And, you know, I think the longer you're a Christian, the more you're going to see this. Cause I mean, it's just something that happens. And scripture, is riddled with plenty of church leaders, who failed, leaders in general. And often, you know, it comes to mind when I'm in these discussions with people to say, well, David was a murderer and an adulterer, and he was a man. He's called in the Bible a man after God's own heart. That's not to say that God's heart is to commit murder or adultery, you know, take a look at the overall picture. I mean, there's so many things in the Bible we can look at David's life where we can learn from and apply to our own lives. But obviously taking, you know, being a Berean and obviously holding it up to scripture, knowing, well, I don't want to mirror that, you know, the parts that we shouldn't. And the other example that comes to mind for me is Peter, because you mentioned a few times, you know, a hot-headed pastor who wasn't, you know, who was snarky or yelled or, you know, to slow down. Okay, this doesn't disqualify. This certainly did not disqualify Peter. We all can think of the examples from Scripture where Peter was kind of off base, and Christ gently brought him back to where he needed to be, and was able to use him for ministry. So I think those are pretty applicable to consider as we head through times where we see church leaders fail. Would you agree?
Well, you're actually touching on Peter. You're giving such a great example there, because Paul even rebukes Peter after Christ, and because he was starting to deviate from the gospel by adding to it with Jewish religious a tradition,
right,
and customs. And so Paul actually confronts Peter strongly, and Peter repents. And so what you see is not just Jesus do it, but Paul do it. And Peter's a great example, because he really is probably more true to an equivalency of a pastor in today's context,
yeah,
where David was more of a king, right?
Right.
Having David is this great example of God restoring relationship, but he was more of a head of state than pastoral. And so Peter being, in both cases, you see restoration. But with that example of Peter, you actually see somebody start to get off base doctrinally, like with the gospel.
Yeah,
he's restored, and that's really encouraging. So, I think what's important is whether we're talking about somebody who's diving towards or moving towards false doctrine, or somebody who's orthodox in their doctrine and moving towards immoral behavior. Both need to be confronted. Both need to be dealt with, and hopefully restored to not only the faith relationship, but if not disqualified, hopefully to the role.
Now, one of the other things I want to touch on before we really put a bow on our conversation is so many of us, you know, any length of time in the church will run into church leaders that fail, and it causes a trust issue, not only with that person specifically, but with church leaders in general. And the truth is, not all pastors are living, as you mentioned, duplicitous lives, or lives, you know, where they're a hothead and drive people away. I think of those who you've mentioned. We've all seen the people that have been hurt by the church, or hurt by someone in the church, and they hold Christ responsible. And if I'm being honest, sometimes I believe there's just kind of a cop out where they're using some of these situations to relieve themselves of any accountability that they may need.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard when we define our experience by our emotions. You know, we need to experience, or take our experience and define it through the scriptures. It's, as you mentioned and alluded to earlier, there are qualifications. There's at least three or four passages of scripture that specifically identify what's a qualified pastor to be. Much of it is character. There's a skill in there they need to be able to teach, but predominantly it's about how they treat their wife, their kids, their neighbors. How do they seek after the Lord? And so when we say, if we're going to go so far as to say, my pastor wronged me, sinned against me, that they're not qualified, it better be because they're not meeting a qualification that the Lord laid out, not that we added to. If we're upset because, you know, they didn't choose me to be the VBS director this summer, or I'm not on the worship team frequently enough, those are not the kinds of issues that the Bible says disqualify somebody from being a pastoral leader. But when they're harsh, unrepentantly so, they're domineering is the word the New Testament uses, or they're not faithful, with their finances, with their neighbors. They're supposed to be thought well of by non-believers. So we gotta make sure we're vetting the right things and judging them by the right standards.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Dr. Josh Zajcik on the topic of, you know, trusting church leaders when so many have failed. And before we go, Dr. Zajcik, I kind of want to throw it back to you to make sure we haven't left anything there that needs to be said.
Well, I appreciate that, because the one thing that I would just want to encourage is, you mentioned victims the other day or earlier in this conversation, and you as a listener, you could be the victim, but it's likely you might know somebody who's been hurt. And I just want to encourage, you know, Jesus came to the crowds, Matthew 9, and he saw how they had been treated by the religious leadership, and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And his heart, it says, his posture was of compassion. And when we encounter people who've been hurt, I think we need to maintain that posture of compassion. That can be listening to their story. That can be trying to help them know how they should respond, encouraging them in the midst of their doubts. But Jesus had that for people who'd been mistreated by leaders. And I think that needs to be not just the heart of the church, but the heart of faithful pastors, because you, as a faithful pastor, you're likely to inherit people who leave a church down the road who were mistreated. And so know that that's an opportunity to be like Christ.
Yeah, and I love the insight as far as how to have that conversation with the victim. When I think about the times that I have, yeah, and I've experienced leaders who've fallen and failed personally. But as I'm talking to people, you know, who are considering leaving or have left and want nothing to do with organized religion or the church. And I'm very careful what I say. And I love that you said, one of the first things you said was to listen, and to actively listen. And most of the time my response is, I can't really imagine the feelings you're having. But what I do know, and then to delineate what we know about Christ and his attributes and how solid that rock is, that may be something that a victim needs to hear.
You're spot on, Steve. And it does take time. It's not a quick thing. It's not a one conversation thing. And I just want to encourage pastors listening. Here at Focus on the Family, we love pastors. We're trying to help them be healthy, and we're creating all sorts of content for them. And so if you want to visit thefocusedpastor.org, check out some of the content, videos, articles, all sorts of content for you and your family and the local church. And then join us October 28th through 30th. We're doing a special pastoral couples conference to give you a rest, to reinvigorate you. We want people ministering out of a healthy place. And so take the time to get away and recalibrate your heart to the Lord and to what he's called you to do.
And Dr. Zajcik, would you repeat the website?
Yeah, it's thefocusedpastor.org.
Okay. And then Focus on the Family has an abundance of resources. I'm sure you could probably aim them somewhere for the victim.
Yeah, we actually, we have our 1-800-A-FAMILY line. And if you've been just personally hurt by a pastor or a situation where you just don't even know how to navigate it, I'd encourage you, call that number. We have folks ready on the other side of that 800 number just to answer questions, help you think through things. So yeah, I'd encourage you, 1-800-A-FAMILY. And that could be a pastor too. That could be a pastor who's thinking through, how do I navigate? Maybe I'm the one who's inherited a church from a previous pastor who didn't lead well and shepherd well. And folks are hurting. Let us be an encouragement to you. 1-800-A-FAMILY.
Very good. Well, we've been visiting with Dr. Josh Zajcik. He is the Director of Church Engagement at Focus on the Family. And we appreciate your time, Doctor, and look forward to having you on another time. It's been great to get the insight as we deal with this topic of trusting church leaders when so many have failed.
Steve, thanks for having me on. It was an honor.
All right. And thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect.